are back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. When Meghan Markle and Harry Windsor revealed earlier this month that they would be stepping back from their duties as part of the British royal family, it sent shockwaves throughout the UK and the US. Many questioned their decision, wondered how the couple would make their own money, and what exactly stepping back means. But what isn't getting as much attention here is the role the media might have played in the couple's decision. Since Markle, a biracial woman, first began a relationship with the royal family, the British media's portrayal of her, particularly in the tabloid press, has been less than flattering, especially when compared to the kind of coverage her sister-in-law, Kate Middleton, receives. Nat Godley is an assistant professor of history at Alverno College. He focuses on race and ethnicity in Europe. He's a white British man who grew up with a black British sister and has a black son. Godley spoke with WUWM's race and ethnicity reporter Taryn Powell about what the Duke and Duchess of Sussex were facing.
Well, the British media, and particularly the tabloid newspapers, are something that I think we don't really have an equivalent of in the U.S. The biggest selling newspaper in the U.K. is called The Sun. It's a tabloid newspaper, and in the U.K., tabloid means a lot of very sensationalist coverage, a lot of royal coverage, a lot of celebrity coverage, pretty poor coverage, I would say, of news, of what we'd generally think of as news, and you know, a lot of really kind of scurrilous gossip type stuff. And so the royals have long had to deal with this. It's certainly something that Harry actually has mentioned as affecting his mother's life and causing her death, basically. And so that's already a fact of life for the royals. However, there's generally been, and I think maybe especially since Diana's death, a degree of some respect for the royals' privacy. Not being too attacking of them. But I think that that changed with coverage of Meghan and Harry, that there was a lot more critical criticism of their life decisions. And so now that it has kind of come to a head and they have, as a couple, responded strongly to it, saying basically it's driven them away from their position and from their country. That there's an analysis of why did that happen and what role did the fact that she is the first person of color to be officially a member of the royal family play in it. So.
And I'm looking here at a couple of examples of that coverage of Meghan, at least compared to her sister-in-law, Kate Middleton. BuzzFeed put together a side-by-side comparison of some of the headlines of Kate and Meghan, like doing the same type of activities, how they dress, etc. And so, for example, these two headlines from DailyMail.com, they show pictures of both Kate and Meghan holding their baby bumps. And the headline for Kate says, "Not long to go, pregnant Kate tenderly cradles her baby bump while wrapping up her royal duties ahead of maternity leave. And William confirms she's due any minute now." The headline for Meghan says, "Why can't Meghan Markle keep her hands off her bump? Experts tackle the question that has got the nation talking. Is it pride, vanity, acting, or a new age bonding technique?" Now, those examples were of some of the lighter coverage of them, but you could still see just how the smallest things, how they would critique Meghan so heavily. Was the British press ready for a woman of color to be in the royal family?
Yeah, I don't think that the British press, particularly this kind of sensationalist tabloid press that does most of the royal coverage, were ready for a woman who was as assertive as Meghan is, even though Kate had been assertive, Diana had been assertive, but Meghan was maybe a little more assertive, but then compounded by the fact that she is
a woman of color,
a woman of a different citizenship, et cetera. But yeah, again, especially a woman of color, that kind of opened up to more criticism and kind of laid out some of the kind of deeper attitudes about race in British culture.
So what are the attitudes about race in the UK compared to race and racism here in America?
I think in general, in urban centers where populations of color tend to be concentrated, there's going to be a greater awareness of race and racism among the general population, including the white British population. But maybe that does also mean that in areas where there are smaller populations of color or more recently arrived populations of color, where people are still dealing with the transformations of demographic change and getting used to their communities maybe looking different to in their parents' and grandparents' day, that there you may see more overt expression of racism. Sadly, I think that as in the U.S., you're going to see overt expressions of racism almost anywhere. And you're going to see the covert and sometimes even more damaging expressions of racism anywhere as well. But generally speaking, there's going to be more overt acknowledgement of it, more complex understanding of how racism works in areas where you've got larger and longer established populations of color, like London certainly, but also Manchester, Birmingham, places where populations are large and populations of color are large and long established enough that they've really become kind of organic parts of the fabric of that, those communities.
So to go back, when you said in areas where there are small populations of color or more recently arrived populations of color, racism is more likely to rear its ugly head because people are getting used to those changing demographics. How does that concept of new arrivals affect people's interactions? Because if people are thinking that populations of color are always new arrivals, I can only imagine the go back to where you came from mantra also comes up.
So in the classic example of the insult, go back to where you came from, my sister is Black British, born 20 miles away from where I was born, two parents who were also born in the UK, but were of Afro-Jamaican descent. And she was told, many times I heard her get told, go back to where you came from when we were kids. And, you know, obviously that was traumatic for her, horrendously traumatic for her, and it really made no sense. It's like, should I go back to Bedford? Mm-hmm. You know, which is, I do remember one time my a kid was told, said that to her, and my mom marched around to his house. We knew where he lived, marched around to his house and confronted him. She confronted his, told his parents, and his mom called him downstairs, clipped him around the ear, and said, you were born in Scotland. She was born 20 miles away. You don't get to say that. But, you know, that's kind of a rare thing, you know, that there is still this, even with long-established populations like the Afro-Caribbean population, which is the earliest kind of large population of color to arrive in the mid-20th century, and which now is, you know, four or five generations in, that they still get told, go back to where you came from. And they literally have been recently sent back to, quote, where they supposedly came from because of some loopholes in nationality law that meant that some of them who were either immigrated as children or who were born to those who immigrated as children don't actually have British nationality. And some of them have even been deported in recent years under some pretty harsh immigration laws.
So to bring it back to Meghan and Harry and how the media's coverage of them and critique of Meghan might be a factor as to why they made the decision to step back from their royal duties, it seems like this situation further highlights, at least to me, how the British media perpetuates racism. So if it is, in fact, due in part to how the media treated them, what impact do you hope this entire situation has in the UK?
I hope that this is going to shine a light on the way race and racism are embedded and operate in British culture in ways that are often not acknowledged. and that it will kind of, it has certainly started a conversation which is ongoing. I just saw on social media from a show called Question Time, which is a kind of panel discussion. They have a range of panelists from different political perspectives and then questions from the audience. Somebody brought this up, that this is an instance of race playing a role and discrimination against a woman of color playing a role in this. And just this pushback from one of the panelists, a white male actor, was just complete denial that this could possibly have been part of it, that, oh, no, this is all just to do with Megan's own behavior. That they're getting this criticism and it's nothing to do with her race. And, the store is comparing her, the coverage of her behavior with coverage of equivalent behavior by Kate Middleton, her sister-in-law, really suggests that there's something else going on when they're covered so differently for doing the same thing.
Support for Race and Ethnicity Reporting is provided by the Doman Company Foundation.
Nat Godley is an assistant professor of history at Alverno College. He spoke with WUWM's Taryn Powell.